did you leave it?
Well, because it's not looking at Cindy's report, and then what they were quoting out of, the report you put out, was that CCR, so I went back to NCCR, and here they had the, we figure out the increases or decreases, and getting that, Jimmy figured out the inflation stuff. It's truly a bitter pill.
We're taking the public sector subcommittee memorandum first, and after we've gotten through that, then briefly discuss the other, the double space draft that you had of a proposed delivery system, which has four pages of replacement pages that were distributed today for the last part of that memorandum. And then, that was to basically to conceptualize the delivery system, which sort of in principle you had approved a month or two ago. And then Ray Bosey, who's a member of the public sector committee and head of something or other at the Metropolitan Council, one of the original staff people to Met Council and the state's only expert on planning and regionalism as they relate one to the other, is going to take us through the work that has been going on at the State Arts Board on this same process. He comes at it from three different directions. One, he's responsible for the Metropolitan Council's input into the State Arts Board's grant-making process through the Regional Arts Task Force that's assigned to the Met Council. Secondly, he's been working with us through the Public Sector Committee on the same subject. And thirdly, he's been a counselor or advisor to the State Arts Board, statewide planning policy group or something like that. So then when we're through with that, we'll cover the private sector recommendations. So that's the planned order of the day. And Jimmy, do you want to start us through the public sector subcommittee outline and any comments you want to make about it?
Okay. The nature of the public sector subcommittee report is sort of, the first part of it is based on percentage standards for various sectors of support and sources of income. And then the second part of it is a dollar amount in terms of state government. The state government recommendation, when we get to the end of it, will be sort of a residual. This is what we expect private sector to do. This is what we expect earned income to do. This is what we expect the total public sector to do. But then of that public sector, there's a federal government portion. Take the federal government portion out, you're left with a state and local portion. Take the local portion out, you're left with a state portion. Because we really don't believe we can do anything about the federal portion of the 20%. And in terms of the local one, we think something has to be done in terms of setting a standard, the state encouraging local, municipal, and county governments to do something about the arts. But in terms of recommending an exact dollar amount, we'll stick with the state, or at least this memorandum sticks with the state. At the commission meeting on the 1st of October, the commission adopted but to see what would happen to the numbers if they adopted it, a 55-25-20 split. That's 55% earned income and organizational support for total income, a 25% private sector support, and a 20% public sector support. Now these are standards. They aren't actual projections into the future. The 55% is a fairly solid projection in the future. The 25% private sector standard would not be met given the current condition, the current direction that private sector giving is going. In 1978 it would be only 21% rather than 25%. So then to a certain extent the 25% represents an attempt to encourage the private sector to stay at 25%. And the public sector standard, the 20% there, is also not a projection to 1977 or 78, but by 1980 or 81 we would expect, given the direction things are currently going, that 20% would be reached. It's just that, given the trouble in the private sector, we expect, we hope to get there sooner, hope to get the public sector 20% sooner. So this memorandum is on the 20% public sector support. And the dollar values are based on what it would take to meet expenditures in 1977, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 88, as the trend model projects expenditures out into the future. You take 20% of the expenditures, and that gives you what total public sector support should be. Now, that is done in this memorandum, in Table 48, which is the third page of the memo. The projected expenditures of all the nonprofit arts organizations in Minnesota up to 1984, year by year, and you take 20% of it, you get column A. Now, from that, we should take the federal contribution, because it's unlikely that the commission or this state will have much impact on the federal contribution to the state. And the federal contribution comes mostly through NEA and goes through some of us through the state arts board, some of us through organizations. That federal contribution is a projection of the 1975 level of federal contributions that affected Minnesota nonprofit arts organizations. And the projection is made just simply to take care of the rate of inflation. Currently, NEA is going through, every year they go through an appropriation process. And the current condition of that appropriation process is they're arguing to stay up with the rate of inflation. They're not arguing for big increases or anything like that any longer. They grew fantastically through the 60s and the early 70s, but they're having trouble keeping up with the rate of inflation right now. So that federal, the projected federal contribution to nonprofit arts organizations is a simple increase year by year based on how what inflation would do to dollars. So that in terms of constant dollars, we're getting the same constant dollars from the federal government every single year. But the dollar amounts grow because of inflation in the economy. So you subtract the federal contribution from the total public sector need, and you get a state and local share of that 20%. And that's done, the state and local share is done in column three. Now, this is about all the farther that we can go on projected numbers. From here on out, we're going to be talking about what we can expect from the local sector, and we're going to have to make some assumptions, what we want from the local sector, rather than what we would actually project from the local sector. We don't have breakdowns on local giving all the way back to 1969, so I can put a projection on it. All we have is the 1975 value and what Hennepin and Ramsey are likely to do in the future, and then we're going to have to make arguments about the rest of total local support.
Can we just look around for a second?
Right.
I want to be sure all of the commissioners are now comfortable with how we've gotten to this point. As you know, we spent months in trying to get a financial model that we felt was as realistic as possible, a picture of the system, the total system to date, and to try and indicate elements of income and expenditure in that, and break them down into categories, what the organizations were generating themselves as on a system-wide basis, all the money being earned by arts organizations, all the money contributed to arts organizations by the private sector and the various elements of the private sector, individual corporations, foundations, etc. The element of public support already existing for the private sector, consisting of municipal, county, state, federal, and the extent that there is a deficit in that, how it's being made up by what we've referred to as organizational support, income from the endowments of organizations enjoy, and to the extent that they've been doing it, transfer from their endowment corpus to their operating account to balance the budget. The figures which we've been working on, which you've now seen before you for several months, which have been pulled together in the final trend model which you've got, leads you up to these figures. And the additional factor that Jimmy just put in is looking at the total public sector need, taking the federal contribution level, which we assume is the best available evidence what it will be, and he's about to take you on to the major local money's already there. Go ahead.
Now, in the
you have any questions
right
before we go that far?
Out of time. In the memorandum, we refer back to
a question about how you, the trend model, that's not
right.
Just inflation.
No, the trend model is not just inflation. You take 69, 72, and 75 figures, you reduce all those figures to constant dollars, constant 1967 dollars. And then you look at what's happened in the industry between 69 and 72 and 72 and 75. And And both in income and expenditures, total income and total expenditures, the increase is about 50% from 69 to 72 in constant dollars. And from 72 into 75 is about 25% in constant dollars. And looking at national figures and figures from other studies, we were about 3 years behind the national trend. We project a model, a simple exponential curve model, which would say 12.5% in between 75 and 78, and then that's which was 1/8, and then 1/16 between 78 and 81, and 1/32 between 81 and 84. It's a simple exponential curve model on constant dollars. And then we take the constant dollars and we have a couple inflation rate projections from the Office of Management and Budget and the Congressional Budget Office, and we take those, build them on the Consumer Price Index, and run it back out into 1984 in actual dollars. And it's, there wasn't any, I mean, it's not a complicated regression model, it's fairly simple.
Go ahead.
Okay. So in the memorandum, if you refer to page 2, table A, the problem I was defining was how much does the state share? And getting the local state split is fairly simple in terms of dollar amounts and fairly hard evidence to suggest that the state and local share of it looks like the table we were just referring to, table 48. Now the problem is, at this point, to break down that share into local support and state support into out to 1984. So we can say the state share should be X number of dollars. There are several steps to getting local support. The first thing is that, as the memorandum will tell you, total local support in 1975, according to the primary survey, was $1,725,831, of which $1,516,000 came from Hennepin and Ramsey County to the Institute of Arts. County and the St. Paul Ramsey Arts and Science Council in Ramsey County. That's a significant share, not only of local support, but of total public sector support currently. And to the extent that we know something about those two appropriations, the process for those appropriations, we have to look at those individually, I think, since we're talking about such a large share. Hennepin County is a mill levy. It's a 0.35 mill on their dollar value, the assessed value of the property in Hennepin County. And Ramsey County is a general revenue appropriation, which declined between 1975 and 76. The Ramsey County appropriation was lower in 76 than it was in 75. What column two, Hennepin County and Ramsey County contribution, does in table A is it takes the total 1975 value and projects it out at the rate of inflation to 1984 to suggest that this is what Hennepin and Ramsey can be expected to do for the Institute for the St. Paul Ramsey Arts and Science Council.
What rate of inflation?
The rate of inflation, which is suggested by the Congressional Budget Office, which is a sort of a medium range between the Office of Management and Budget. Well, let me go into that. The rate of inflation, we are using the Consumer Price Index, so that they give us the multipliers. Now, to get a projection, we call the Joint Economic Committee, and they send us to two reports. One of which was published by the Office of Management and Budget and the Council of Economic Advisors sometime this summer, which projected an inflation rate year by year up to 1984. And they also referred us to a report by the Congressional Budget Office, which projected two inflation rates, one they called their high rate and one they called their low rate, out to 1984. And if you look at the administration document seriously and the Joint Economic Committee's view of it, it's slightly low. And if you look at the Congressional Budget Office's prediction, the high prediction is slightly high. And they're fairly comfortable, I think, with the Congressional Budget Office low figures. So that when the trend model is done and the final tables are put together, there'll be a range of dollars that we're talking about based on these three inflation rates.
What rate are you talking about?
What rate, inflation rate? Okay. In the trend model, which was passed out, the actual inflation rate is on page... three inflation rates on page 35. The OMB rate was 5.7 in 1976, 5.6 in 1977, 5.6 in 78, 5.1 in
79.
Okay. 6%. Okay. The CBO rate starts, the low rate starts at 7 in 76, runs 6, 9, 5, 9, 5, 6, 4, 8, and the high one runs 7, 2, 7, 1, 7, 6, 8.
Yeah, I think my question is, what one
would
you use in this particular table?
In this particular table, we use the CBO low rate. Which seems to be the most
in the middle.
It's a 6.9 next year. It's a 6.9. Roughly 6% raise for your inflation.
But Jimmy, the better figure to use for Hennepin and Ramsey
is the projected increase in assessed valuation.
I was just going to get to that. Yeah. Okay, we've got to get back to my middle here. Okay. So we projected stuff based on the rate of inflation. And then Mr. Jernberger got us the figures, the projected assessed value figures for Hennepin County through 1981. And this was total assessed value that I got. I took a 0.35 mill rate on that assessed value and got figures of, if you're looking at that column, 1450 in 77, 1,510,000 in 78, 1,575,000 in 79, 1,644,000 in 80, and 1,697,000 in 1981, which is all the part of that projection goes. The rest of that would be Ramsey County. So I looked at Ramsey County and what they're doing currently and the changes, and it looked like it was a fairly, I mean, we might be missing by $50,000 one way or the other, but it was fairly close. So I guess I'm happy with the first, that column prediction based on inflation. In the report, I didn't get these numbers till this morning. So in that report, I will mention Hennepin County's projections of its assessed value in the future and what the mill rate does to that and what that looks like. But I'm fairly comfortable with this column for Hennepin and Ramsey County.
To the extent that the actual patterns of Hennepin and Ramsey County funding changed significantly from that, this is documented in the report, so the whole system model can be correspondingly adjusted. But this is based on the best assumptions we can make today. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So then you have what we call all other local sources, which is local support of the nonprofit arts, minus Hennepin and Ramsey County contributions. Now, this is a problematic, they're small numbers, so it's not a big problem, but it's a problematic situation. The first page of the memorandum will tell you that in 1975, the contribution from all other local sources, all sources, local sources, excluding Hennepin and Ramsey County, was $320,462. I converted that back into 1967 constant dollars, and then projected growth in it, both inflation growth and the same kind of growth that is incurring in the arts industry in terms of expenditures. In other words, I took the model, the trend model for arts industry expenditures, projected it right on top of that constant dollars number, projected those constant dollars in the future, and then translated back in actual dollars to get the figures of the second column. Now that's an argument that local growth from other sources will look just exactly the same as the arts organization growth. And to a certain extent, I think that's a reasonable assumption, because we're talking about not just growth in individual accounts, like we're not talking about one county moving up at the same rate that the arts in that county moves up, but we're talking about adding other new local sources that aren't currently being tapped. In this case, it's a judgment, and it's my best judgment. They're not big dollars. Even if you didn't take that growth rate into account, that the actual real growth in these kinds of expenditures into account, the numbers would look pretty much like this, a little bit less if you just did inflation. If you did more than inflation, they would look different. Now, we're going to argue in a couple minutes that they ought to be doing more than this, that we ought to design a program that would cause the counties and the other counties and municipalities to do more than the dollars that we have listed right here. So I take the dollar values of column 2, add them onto the dollar values of column 1, and get a total local support out through 1984. Now, in 1977, that $2,122,000 translates roughly into 40% of total public sector support, which, as you recall, is 20% of expenditures. So we have sort of a 20-40 standard. Public sector support should be 20% of expenditures. 40% of total public sector support should be local support, which I don't, of income. No, expenditures. We're trying to meet expenditures. So it's 20% of expenditures, and then 40% for the local share. Now, if you go to the last table in this memorandum, table 49, there is a row marked 40. And these are what the local dollars would look like if the local sector actually did 40% of the need, the public sector need. And the 45 row is what if they did 45% of the total public sector need, et cetera. 60% is what they did 60% of the total public sector need. In 1975, because Hennepin and Ramsey County had just put in new programs that were so large, they actually did 55%. But that was 55% of income, and not 55% of total expenditures. The 40% line, I think, is the most reasonable line. Now, the second half of that line is subtract. That's what's left over after you take the federal government out, and you take the local government out. That's what's left for the state. It's a simple subtraction of 217 from the last column of table 48, which is the state and local share. And that projection, those projections go out to 1984. Now, if you look at Table A, the third column of Table A, and the local line of Table 49, the 40% row, you'll see that by 1984, 40% would be $3,580,000, when we only expect, according to this projection, $3,093,000. Which means that in 1984, local government, the way we're projecting it, would no longer be making 40%. So that if the commission decides that 40% is a fair standard and we want to do something about that, we have to talk about a recommendation that would keep it at 40% up to 1984. And the kind of recommendation I'm thinking about is at the top of that page, Table A page, which is that dollars spent by the state government, appropriated by the state arts board or some other state agency in any region of the state, ought to at least be matched by dollars spent from local and municipal, local governments, municipal and county governments in that region for the arts. Not necessarily that they have to be channeled through the same regional arts council or anything of the kind. It's just that if you went to the arts organizations and asked them about local support, they could tell you, well, yes, we're getting this much support from local governments. And that recommendation is based on, okay. Yeah.
So you're talking about a property tax increase to meet
Not necessarily property tax. Ramsey County does theirs from general revenue. I don't know where that money is raised from. It might be property tax. But there are other kinds of taxes that could be, interesting to say, I don't know that you're talking about a property tax increase. I mean, if you're doing it out of a general revenue account, they spend their money in several different ways. And every single expenditure doesn't necessarily require a property tax increase. It just requires less expenditures in other areas. And to the extent that assessed value grows constantly and some of their costs are constant, that growth rate could just be put into the arts. I mean, that happens to federal government all the time. That goes up $13 billion every year. Yeah.
When we're talking about by local, when the local is happening in Ramsey County, do you mean county expenditures? You're not talking about municipal expenditures?
No, local is both municipal and county.
It's anything other than state and federal.
Yeah.
Well, I think in response to the last point raised, I think as a practical matter, we are talking about it. And I think it's foolish not to say we are. And I think it's fatal to this program if we're going to give to the legislature a plan, in effect, to demand the raising of local property taxes. We're certainly not going to get any support for it. I'm not sure that we should get any support for it. And that's very serious. Furthermore, a plan based on local state, I've never heard, in all the months that we met, I never heard on the public subcommittee or on the full commission meetings or any executive committee meetings, I never heard a proposal the property taxes be used to support the arts. And now we get down in the final days of our report, and I see this is tied to our property tax proposal. Now, how did that happen, absent any discussion by any member of the commission? How did that happen at this stage?
Because you're jumping to a conclusion. I mean, if you look at all the reports on the proportion of local revenues that come from the property tax, thanks principally to this governor and other great things, it's very small. The property tax is now about 23% or 28% or something like that of the total revenue raised and spent at the local level. There's nothing in here that mandates raising property tax.
For the first time, to my knowledge, and I might have missed this earlier, state support for the arts, which I've always strongly supported because it could be based from revenues other than the property tax, is tied to county support for the arts, which can only be...
The appropriation to the state arts board now requires matching funds.
I think, let me go back one step. I think it's very important for the commissioners to recognize the distinction, particularly as we get closer to the end on this, because these matter of fact are becoming bigger and bigger importance, between the research done and the conclusion which can be drawn from the research of our own staff organization and the recommendations which become public policy matters of this commission as a result of those findings and conclusions. I think there is a fundamental distinction between them. Now, specifically, the trend model indicates to me that there is a shortfall in the system today
There is a problem which we will get to later on in private sector support, and special efforts will have to be made to keep the private sector support at approximately the level of 25% that is needed to make this whole model live, and just the pattern is gone. And there is an equal problem in public sector support of keeping the total public sector support at 20% or approximately 20% by simply looking out in the future as to where those dollars would come by. Now that, I think, is as far as the research takes us. I think it's a matter for the decision, for the commission to decide the conclusions that we wish to make in terms of recommendations drawn on that. I don't think it necessarily follows that even if we accept the parameters of the 20 and 40%, that we have to tie, let alone the legislature or anybody else, state aid to the arts to a particular formula as to what the county and local government have to do. I think we can recommend, which is my own personal opinion, of it's for discussion by the full commission as well as this subcommittee, that we may recommend incentives to not only the private sector to stimulate private sector giving, but incentives to stimulate other public sector money along with the state monies which come forward. Now that, the concept of stimulating additional sources of revenue has been discussed by the commission in several meetings. What we have not said is that we would mandate a tie between dollar for dollar, X state dollars have to be matched by X local dollars. And I would agree with David. I think that that is not a practical, feasible solution. But I think on the other side of the coin may very well be that some type of funding program may have a vehicle in it which would stimulate local support. A number of suggestions have been made, such as, for example, to the extent there are recommendations in this report for the enhancement or the establishment of regional arts councils, to the extent that that requires additional administrative personnel, or and already has in some areas existing administrative personnel, that part of the money, but only part of that, would be available at a state level. That operates as a governor in preventing excessive expansion of administrative personnel. It also works to stimulate local money. In addition to monies already available to Region X, it can qualify for additional money by making an appropriation of a small amount. You tremendously enhance, I would think, the ability to get that money out of that local area, particularly if it's under funds that are totally under its control. I don't think you have to go directly from the conclusion, and that's where I would differ with the recommendation on the top of page 2. From the 2040 model, the thing that you must mandate. But anyway, Jenny, go ahead with your...
Okay, I'd like to say something. I was at the October 1st commission meeting, and there was a lot of discussion when we were in the trend model about matching, and there were several other state commissioners there, and we sort of went around the room, and every one of them was asked what they thought about matching, whether or not the counties and local governments would go along with it. The consensus of that meeting was pretty much that, yes, they would go along with matching. That's why I stuck matching in here. Now, both when we get to the
fact that they locked the door.
Yes, we discussed at a considerable length at that meeting.
And did you, and you know, that is my fault. I left the meeting, and the door was locked when I got
I
don't know, though, that was discussed with regard to Hennepin and Ramsey County.
This whole concept was simply discussed.
Because the needs, you know, there's a different property tax situation in the metropolitan area, presumably, than rural Minnesota.
Right.
Right. But I mean, I can see, and I remember even at earlier subcommittee meetings, we talked about local health sector committee. That's one. We talked about specifically in the context of the rural areas, And it has a very different meaning in terms of the Twin Cities. But I guess specifically what I'm saying is that I understand the staff role, which is to explore possibilities and present them to the commissioners before they've been agreed upon, so we have a basis for agreeing or disagreeing. And for that reason, I think it might be better for us to get to concepts before we immerse ourselves in detail. And if, for example, the concept of the proposal here to tie state money to county money in the Twin Cities metropolitan area is going to be unacceptable to the commission, I think we should know that, not spend any time going into the minutiae of that proposal. It seems to me we're going about this backwards in terms of our own time.
Okay, I think all we're trying to do right now is arrive for purposes of discussion of a bottom line figure and decide how that works in terms of broad concepts for commission findings and recommendations. So what I'd like to do is just go, the only point, I think we've made the point on the problem of keeping the non-state monies at the basis on which the model was made. And I think we should be aware of the fact that we were going to have to include in the report the observation that it will take efforts, special efforts, to keep the dollars going just at the rate that the system is using them. And what I want to do is get to that next figure, because I think that's where a lot of these things that you're referring to start tying together.
There's no suggestion, except in the recommendation, that they be tied. If you look at...
Well, let's not get into time. Let's go on to...
Right. The state
figure. Assuming that the state figure stays on the 40-20 basis, 40% of the 20% is local money, which has been plugged into the table. Go on from there.
Okay, the table, then the 40% column, the 40% roll, excuse me, for 1984, that would be the state share. Now, even if it doesn't stay at 40%, even if it runs at the projection, you can't keep local support at 40%, it only drops off to something like 36%, so that line is still pretty much good in terms of how many state dollars would be necessary to be public sector support. It misses by $500,000 the state share but in 1984, but that is a miss in 1984, and the miss in 1977 isn't very large at all. Now, I don't know if I'm to discuss this or not, but in talking about this $1.815 million in 1977, this is just to meet the needs of the current existing organizations. And you have to realize that in the state of Minnesota, there's about a 90-10 split in terms of expenditures.
Let me get it. I think the most important point, which this brings us to, is that if you look on table 49 at the 40% level, local state, the shortfall in the system in terms of state contributions system-wide is, for 1977, $1,815,000. For 1978, $2,043,000. Now, I have, and we'll get into this a little later, put together a brief discussion of how that might be addressed in terms of allocation within. And what I've done for that purpose is simply say, since these are more or less calendar year figures, and the state's budget is primarily a fiscal year budget starting mid-year and going mid-year, I have been using, for argument's sake, on a purely theoretical construct, kind of a midway figure of $1,000,009, saying fiscal year starting, state fiscal year 1978, the shortfall is about $1,000,009. Now that is dollars needed in the system. It does not include the add-ons, if you will. It does not include the administrative cost of distributing those dollars within the system. It does not include any type of special programs, special directions, focusing development
that the state may wish to impose upon the system in terms of, you might see certain things developed, that might prefer to have touring programs, that might prefer to have special organizations grow beyond what would be anticipated at a normal growth rate. It might wish to have programs for artists or fellowships for the artists, which is, for example, one of the recommendations of the Need of the Artist Committee. It may wish to see greater interrelationships between the arts organizations and user organizations, such as the school systems, libraries, etc., and may wish dollars to go into that. None of those are directed. This is simply the shortfall in the system right now. And I think that's what the trend model leads us up to. We've been asking for a long time to get us to the bottom line, and I think, so-called, that is the bottom line right now. Now, if there are no basic questions as to how we get there, I'd like to go on.
You say shortfall 1.8, but that seems to be an assumption to be $0 appropriated.
That's correct. I'm not saying it's 1.8 on top of dollars appropriate. That is the state, that's the missing dollar amount of state aid, assuming there's
a shortfall.
That's what it's
state.
No, that's correct.
All right. This is before appropriations. And
that's right.
About what? So I don't remember what the
appropriations this year, I think, were $500,000.
There's some other expense. All right. So if you're looking at this year in 1.9, you were talking about a $1.4 million shortfall if they had the same similar appropriations.
That's correct. And but on the $500,000 appropriation, bear in mind that there's a substantial amount for administrative expense. This is dollars in the system, so it's slightly different. But your concept is correct. All right, David. Then do you want to go into? I think that brings us current on the trend model. You want next to go into? I think yeah. Jerry, let us come back to construct of what those dollars might look like.
All right. You got a first draft of a thing called proposed delivery system in the mail, and I'm not going to try to read through it. I'm going to trust that you had a chance to look over the system. It's been called to my attention by the chairman and others that there's some inflammatory language in there, and I recognize that, depending on where the theory you come to. This is not necessarily the form or the draft of this section of the report, but it was an effort to present the concept of a state plan to you, and to show, starting about page four, to show what goes into the state arts plan. Classification system by the various art forms, if you will. Then our recommendations for the components of a plan, and this is something that the Public Sector Committee had addressed itself to in some form or another back in July or August. The concept of state art resources, regional arts resources, individual artists, arts development, and what, for want of a better title, we call ancillary arts agencies, which are departments and agencies and subdivisions, government, media, libraries, education, all this sort of thing. Then there was an effort to briefly describe state arts resources using some of the criteria that the State Arts Board now uses for major arts organizations, and other criteria that have been suggested from a variety of sources. And then in substance, the suggestion that a state arts resource is not a major arts organization. It is a broader term than an organization. Regional arts resources then become everything else that's going on in the arts, but with a less statewide impact.
individual artists, arts development, and arts organization. The delivery system then is described as basically a statewide system plan with regional components, and a delivery system that's as close to the arts organizations, the artists, and the citizens as possible. So we have suggested that the State Arts Board foster the creation of regional arts councils in all of the regions of the state, or in combinations of regions in the state. And Ray Bosie will get into that sort of implementation process a little bit. There's an argument for regionalism as the way to go if you want a local government and a local and an individual voice, and shows why in Minnesota regionalism or regional councils are the way to approach the planning process, rather than doing what some states have done and write down to municipalities and said every municipality ought to have a local arts commission. We seem to have, while it's occasionally argumentative as you move around the state, at least we do have a regional system that seems to be working well. The state administration is committed to a regional approach as a way to get state resources out of people and to get local people's input into the system. So we are recommending the regional council approach. We are also suggesting, this is now we're getting into the redraft of pages 9, 10, 11, 12, or something like that, was passed out today. We're picking up various elements of this process and saying first off that the regional arts councils ought to be certain criteria, and we haven't suggested what those criteria are, but I think it's our feeling that the nonprofit form, such as the SEMRAC and SMOC and the St. Paul Ramsey Arts and Science Council and others have performed this process of representing local arts needs pretty well, and that if they can do that, there is really no reason why we have to go to a governmental agency to perform the regional arts council planning or administration. However, we are in no position to say that it ought to be one or the other. I think what we would like to do is recommend the criteria for a regional arts council. Say that every region ought to make up its own mind as to how it wants to put this together, and if it can put together a nonprofit organization that will meet the criteria of a planning and grants administering process, that would be preferable to a governmental process. If it doesn't want to go that way, if it wants to go with an RDC or an advisory committee to an RDC, it can go that way. At the end, we do indicate that there should be a tie-in between the regional arts councils and the local regional development commissions or the metro council in this area for a variety of reasons. One would be a sharing of staff expertise. If you have regional development commissions operating already, they will have a degree of planning research expertise on their staffs. They will have administrative systems in place for paying people, for getting out vouchers on grants. They'll have all that sort of thing in place. So there's some good reason why there should be a tie-in between the RDCs and an independent or nonprofit regional arts council. And we also suggest that in the disbursement of regional arts council monies, that there be a review and approval by the Regional Development Commission. The rest of that merely suggests where planning and administration ought to be done, where information gathering ought to be done, how the grant-making function in brief outline would work, an emphasis on citizen involvement and a recognition for the cost of citizen involvement, recognition that lobbying is an essential part of this kind of a structure, a suggestion that there be a administrative tie-in with the private contribution sector, and that is
a conceptual outline of a state policy plan, or state arts plan, and regional plan, and a system of state arts board implementation and regional arts council implementation. Now, as I indicated, the state arts board has been working since May 21st, all along the same line. And I think I've got enough copies to go around of what has just recently been produced as a first draft report for a statewide planning committee. And it's at this point that I would like to ask Ray Bosie to quickly take us through this document, which demonstrates in effect how you get from ground zero to the ultimate in this kind of a planning process.
Can I just say, our support says to this,
right?
Two comments. First, David, would you give sort of a 1 minute summary of how we got to this point with this proposal? It's just not hatched by one or two of us and are pulled out of the air. And secondly, in terms of just getting a broad concept, as I understand the plan, the State Arts Board and the regional councils, as they develop, would be charged with the responsibility of producing, updating, providing, developing a statewide plan and criteria which grants have to be made within that plan. Within that framework, the regional councils would be basically independent in their grant making as long as they conform within the plan, and that's the criteria for it. You would be going to a federated system as opposed to a highly centralized one institution system. And the State Arts Board would evolve from a almost exclusively grant-making organization which will continue to be making grants. And obviously, to the extent statewide arts resources are administered and grants made by the State Arts Board, and the extent a significant portion of the dollar amounts appropriated annually, it would be making a very large amount in dollar amounts grants. But its function would evolve in terms of time and involvement of staff and focus of the board into far more of an administrative agency and a policy-making agency than a simple grant-making organization, and that you would, in a federated fashion, be promoting independent grant-making agencies throughout the state. I would not also be hung up on the concept that suddenly, because there are 11 development districts, there need be suddenly 11 regional arts councils. I think the pattern which has evolved already indicates that many regions, and conceivably parts of regions if that were permitted, would choose to federate, ally, or consolidate themselves, such as SMOC, CIMARAC, etc., whereby they would be able to pool the dollars and make allocations within an entire region, which would tremendously simplify the structure. I guess my own instinct would be that there may be no more than perhaps four or five, if that many, regional councils. But the point would be that the decision on that would be made in the regions and between the regions themselves, and not imposed from a central administration down. And the decision making on the plan and the criteria would be statewide, and participation by these organizations with the State Arts Board to develop it. Now, do you want to just make a comment on how that thing evolved?
Okay, I'd forgotten the question.
Who put this together?
throughout the whole process, I guess it's input from State Arts Board, it's input from the Metropolitan Council, it's input from the Public Sector Committee, it's input from Gene Ward and Cindy and I meeting with private sector contributors who said if anything more in that report, come up with some kind of a system in the state so we know where to put our monies, but is that something going to come of it? So that's where the concept of suggesting that the state needs, number one, the state arts plan came from. It's from everybody we have talked to, particularly those people that are putting money into the system, whether it's public or private. The exact the descriptions of the components, the classifications, and how the system operates is really a matter of a whole series of conversations and meetings with the state planning agency, with Rich Detmer, with Mary Louise Dudding, with Ray Bosey, with the state arts board people, everybody who has
that's the Office of Local and Urban Affairs and the state planning agency.
And they have analyzed for us, you know, everything that's happened with the federal money coming into the state and what has happened with aging and mental health and all these sort of things that we have tried to find, since we're starting from scratch, a process that combines the best of all those other systems into a regional plan for the arts.
A couple of points I wanted to make. One, to the issue of administrative cost of this kind of plan. In the report, the Arts Board is criticized for the size of its administrative budget lifting. One point about that is that a certain percentage of that administrative budget goes to pay for technical assistance and other services that the Arts Board performs independent of its grant-making function. But the question is, this proposal involves an even more complex administrative structure than currently exists. I assume that the cost of administering arts money in the state would increase beyond just the increase in the amount of arts money to be distributed. If the organization becomes more complex, the problems in administration become more complex, and more money has to be spent.
Well, I think we have not gotten all the figures on administration together, and we're in the process of doing that, but I would be willing to predict that the overall cost of administration in the first couple of years of this are not going to exceed the current cost. In the long run, there are going to be more costs. But basically what we're doing is substituting some planning expense for the overwhelming amount of grant-making expense that right now. And I've talked to Steve Sell, too, on that subject, and I didn't mean to imply $220,000 is going into grant-making, except that I know that a substantial amount of effort on their part is going into grant-making, and the reason so much of it goes into grant-making is that there is no plan. So every grant gets analyzed regardless of whether it's $5 or $5,000 or $500,000. And with a plan in place, you substantially lessen the burden of analyzing every single
grant. We would hope, before the full commission would adopt these recommendations, and all we aim for today is to determine whether there is a consensus within these two subcommittees for this approach, to document to the extent we can the projected costs, increases if any, with the assistance of the State Department of Administration, the Finance Department, and so on, and of course with the State Arts Board, in terms of what additional cost this would impose upon the system, if any, and to how much. I think Ray would have some comments on that. Our hope would be that if the standards are able to be spelled out in some detail, and that you have then substantial citizen participation in decision making in terms of volunteer boards such as the State Arts Board with a professional staff, but the standards are established and the criteria are spelled out, it is a vastly simplified decision making process. It still has to be made, but the problem of setting up panels who have to make, basically starting from scratch, a series of ultimately arbitrary but the fairest that they can do decisions on grant making will be substantially simplified, and therefore there will be saving. The hope is that you will be able to get closer to the way private foundations are able to distribute money than the state agencies, recognizing the dollar amounts here are only 20% of the total money is going into the system. The need, obviously, is to keep it
as simple and lean and efficient as possible. We're obviously aware that a public decision-making process is more cumbersome and costly than the private sector.
The key here is that I think it's going to cost some more money, but I think it may be worth it. Let me suggest a different way to present this. I talked to Steve Samarn, talked to David this morning, and I've been thinking about this. The fact that the system is going to be decentralized, one, two, that decentralizing itself doesn't have any magic unless somehow the citizens gain something from it. And the fact that you're going to have X number of regional organizations working in the arts, whether they're public or private, means by definition, one, that you're going to spend more money on travel because there's going to be more people involved. And by the way, the impact of the regional arts task forces to date, the five that exist, has been to, and the statewide planning committee, has been to increase the unbudgeted amount, like something like $20,000 to $25,000. It's a big state and it costs money to call people together for even a few meetings. And by the way, if you want to go to those two, five statewide, the first thing you better do is appropriate jet planes, because if you go up north in the state, it's very large. Arrowhead is an enormous region already, so there's some practical limits to how small, how few you can make and be able to afford to claim that it's a region or operate one. The fact of it is that it might cost more money, but I think it may produce something. It may produce more a definition of arts, developing the arts locally, and that's what the regional organizations are supposed to be involved in. And there's no way, I don't think there's any way anybody can claim you can do that out of St. Paul or out of any one location. That you just don't know what the needs are. You don't know what's there. And even when there's nothing there or very little there, that's all the more reason to have something more locally based to try to generate arts development. I mean, that's what you're trying to do, among other things. Just not tear and feed what's there, but perhaps create some new programs, if needed, some new entities. It depends where you are in the state, whether you need that or not. I would doubt that that'd be the case in the metropolitan area, but there might be some need that's not being met. In any event, it might cost more, but I think it could be justified. I haven't seen a citizens committee yet that could operate completely by itself. I mean, somebody to help, at least call it together. I mean, a little planning work would go a ways, and that costs money. You can't do it for nothing. And I said to travel, so I think there might be some increased costs. The only way there is an increased cost is if you assume the state staff somehow by this organization would, by definition, be reduced in size. It's not a very big staff right now. I'm not prepared to argue that one way or the other, although, it's conceivable they'll be doing some additional things than what they're doing now. I'm not sure that means it would be fewer of them here than elsewhere, but they might be doing different things with their time. So I guess that's my comment with respect to that. I don't know anyone's reactions to that. Oh, there was one last point. I feel that, for instance, if this kind of an organization can be set up and it gains some credibility, that perhaps, for instance, some of the planning work initially might be funded from private sources, that they might be willing to underwrite the initial efforts to prepare a plan, which when it requires things like needs assessments in an area like this, it's not going to be a very cheap venture, particularly when no one knows how to do it exactly. I mean, it's going to require some innovative thinking. You're probably going to have to buy some expertise to the extent it exists anywhere. And someone might be willing to underwrite that. Those kinds of initial efforts, there's been some history of private underwriting of those kind of initial innovative efforts. So I guess that's my balance of my answer on that. Do you want me to go on into the regional statewide committee's recommendations?
Why don't you help summarize it?
Well, if we could just look at this document for a minute, and I think it is a fairly good summary document. You don't have to look at the initial. If you look at page 4, you'll probably get some of the overall recommendations. Basically, the statewide committee consists of two representatives from each of the 13 regional development districts that were somebody recommended along the way. It wasn't the RDC, it was an offer from a private organization. These 26 people developed this over a period of time. Of course, like all dynamic documents, this one's about a day, because we met on it 2 days ago. And I'll try and indicate wherever there's any major difference changes. One of the changes is in wording. It's no longer called task force, it's called Regional Arts Commission, or Council, which is to use the same terminology that's used in this document, because at least as far as we can tell, they're meant to be the same creatures, the exact same organization. Well, one of the questions is whether there's any viewing, if there's any difference in the way they're being viewed between the way the statewide committee's been viewing it and the way it's being viewed here. I don't think so, but Dave and I tried to clarify some of those latest this morning. So let me go through this and quickly and see if there's anything that, any questions you have.
May I just ask a question?
Sure.
I'm not certain I'm following this all clearly, because I understand the central matter before this group is the proposed delivery system, and which was delivered to my office, and presumably to everybody else's office this morning, which I have read in preparation for this meeting. Now, this document, is it correct? This is a genuine effort to have this clarified, because I don't follow this very clearly. Is this, then, a detail of this?
It is, if everyone agrees that philosophical approaches are the same. I say it is. Someone else?
No, I'm philosophical, but there was, in the proposed delivery system, a recommendation for what you accurately describe as a federal system between the State Art Board and the Regents for the Administration of Grants. And this, then, would be a detailed
yes.
elaboration of that principle.
Yes.
Well, this is the point I spoke to earlier today. It strikes me as much more sensible to find consensus on the general principles before we squander our time in looking at their details. Now, maybe no one here agrees with that. I said it earlier, and I was nodding the head, and then nothing changed. Now, I think that the pattern of these meetings has been, I say this on higher, that they start half an hour late. We are given all of the supporting detail without ever having a discussion on the policy that would lead to that detail. And then we adjourn. And I don't blame the staff for having no sense of direction. But it seems to me that the members of the commission, if we are to perform our charge, should engage in some sort of a dialogue as to what our direction is, rather than listening to a recitation of the details to fulfill that direction. I mean, I nothing could seem clearer. If I'm wrong, I wish somebody would correct me.
I think you're right that there's no disagreement. I think what we are basically ready to discuss the question of whether we should be recommending this type of federated system.
But it seems to me that the decision to recommend a federated system should come before a discussion of the details of just what that decision may be. I've looked at this, I don't follow with it. As a matter of fact, I happen to be in favor of the recommendation of a federated system. I think that makes sense, and from what I can see, this is a good detailed program. I don't have any question with it. It's just that I think that we ought to be going from the general to the particular rather than the other way around.
Well, the decision was made at a meeting in July or the first part of August, and all of this is implemented that decision. I don't have the minutes here, so I can't tell you which meeting it was. But
does it make any sense for us to vote?
I think
on this proposed delivery system or the concept of the federal system, and if that's an order, I would move that we accept a federated system, we adopt a federated system. As generally outlined in this document.
As outlined in the Durenberger Memorandum.
Because I know we've talked about it conceptually before, at least in the public sector.
And we've agreed to it there.
Yes, that's right.
And we have agreed to it in the public sector. So I would propose then that we adopt such a...
All right. So that's in the form of a formal resolution. Is there a second? Any further discussion?
Only that I received it when I walked in, and I really would like to have examined it a little more closely before that, or a vote on whether or not.
We did talk about it, and we did adopt
general principle.
We did adopt the general principle that at our public sector meeting, I believe you were there at that. Mm-hmm. So we're really.
And this, after your evaluation, justifies what we talked about.
Yes.
My reading of this leads me to conclude that it's consistent with what our public sector has been agreed on, and I assume and if all these people involved who have studied this say that this is consistent with this,
let me comment on that, because I have not had the chance, and I don't think our staff has had the opportunity to examine in detail the points of agreement or disagreement between the State Art Board plan and our own proposal. I would hope that before we make a final document approve it at the full commission, that that has been done, so we can either rationalize the differences that are in or reach an agreement between them. I wouldn't want to represent today that the two are identical, but I think that's not necessary for purposes of the resolution or the responsibility of the subcommittee now, which is to formally approve the concept of federated funding, which has been discussed by the subcommittee and which is outlined in the Durnberg Memorandum. And that is understood to be a rough draft, which we will hopefully have in a state which resolves a number of the questions that have been raised before we have to approve it as a full commission.
This is what you mean by the memorandum, the proposal of research.
Would it be in order for the members who are on the committee, since this has to be drafted in final form, but when they read the document and comments, to write them down and send them today? Or send them to the next day?
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Does that mean that this is going to be submitted? And I assume that the remark by Dave Durnberg in earlier in the meeting, the language might have to change, was incorporated in the last motion of the meeting.
So this is a concept.
We're talking about the concept somebody here and rather than that.
That's right.
The language. Fine.
All right. You ready for this? Let me attribute to you, this is something which we have just prepared, because the question has come from a number of quarters as to, this is something done just for this meeting, and therefore you've not had a chance to review it. And it's basically in a sense, model of the money coming into the system has been raised by a number of you. Assume we were to approve the federated system. What does this mean with regard to various organizations, to various regions, to what used to be called major arts organizations, what are now referred to in a much more expanded concept as state arts resources, and the interrelationship between them. I am not proposing this as an allocation formula that the Commission should adopt today. It is simply an attempt to put together some of the variables and give you an example of how they break down. All I did for this was to go on the assumption of the 1,000,009 figure and determine arbitrarily if we were to break that down to two categories. One, statewide arts resources, and the other, regional arts money. If, for argument's sake, the breakdown would be 1,000,000, now let me go back one step. The trend model shows that the total amount of dollars the system needs. It does not attempt to make the policy question, address the policy question of where in the system those money should go. Where there should be a concentration of public aid and assistance to develop or encourage development or sponsor development, where there should be less public money to discourage and all the variations in between. This is an attempt to try and focus your thinking on some of those problems, because we're going to be asked as a commission individually and conceivably we're going to be asked in a report to make a proposal of the distribution system.
I said arbitrarily, if you put $1 million in state arts resources and $900,000 in the regional account of arts funding, how would it look? The first table breaks that down on a strictly per capita basis per region. $900,000, and the second table breaks that down on the formulas the State Arts Board has just approved for grants to what they're, under their current statute, are calling major arts organizations. It's not to say that they will use the same criteria in the future, but it's to show you if the $1 million would put into the system exactly as the State Arts Board has made grants to date, what it would look like. The observations I'd like to call your attention to are that if an allocation were to follow that type of formula, the percentages are, with regard to the metropolitan area and with regard to the major organizations, less favorable than they would be in the major system, in the strict dollar basis within the system themselves.
What do you mean by less favorable?
The, as the figures that we have in our regional survey show, something like 93% of all the dollars in the system are generated by something like 17 organizations.
About 93% of all the dollars are generated in the Twin Cities area. Something like 88% of all the dollars, 87% of all the dollars are generated by 17 organizations, all of which are in the Twin Cities.
What do you mean by favorable or unfavorable?
If you were to follow this type of an allocation, there would be less than 93% of all the dollars going into the metropolitan region. To the extent that you veer from 93% of dollars going to the metropolitan region, you are veering from what would statistically be the breakdown of dollars based on the trend model. My feeling is that there are certain practical realities in a distribution system, and when you are asking the state on a statewide basis to contribute to the arts, and 50% of the population plus live outside the metropolitan area and would be contributing at least a relatively corresponding amount of the money, you cannot expect a 90-10 distribution system. On the other hand, if you were to follow the strictly per capita for the whole dollar amount, you would be putting the metropolitan area in a tremendously adverse position and be putting quite probably far more money outstate in year one than could be absorbed. I tried to find somewhere in between that meets both standards. This distribution system, if it were adopted, would put approximately 52% of the money, just following the State Arts Board grant making procedure.
You're moving too fast. The only proposal I have in my head right now is the one that says per capita for the $900,000. Mm-hmm. And the $1 million distributed to the six organizations who are going to get the first $200,000. It's been my impression that pretty much everyone concedes that if that money went up significantly, that there's another group of organizations that could be considered for designation as a major. That's just point one. I mean, so is your premise that only these six would be getting the money, be getting the increased amount?
No. I am simply saying if the State Arts Board were to do what it did before,
yes,
that's what it would look like.
All right.
The point you have to bear in mind is that the Region 11 funds within the $900,000, Region 11 is shown on Table 1, is 48.6%. There would be an additional $437,000. If the State Arts Board simply followed its existing standard and said, may statewide arts resources are six.
Yes.
But there are other arts resources would be considered regional.
Yes.
Then the total dollar amount, because those six happen to be located in metropolitan region,
right,
would be $1,437,000. And there's $437,000 available for others within that group. That's
okay, my only reservation to that is that that's a logical progression, but not necessarily a probability of what would happen with increased funding. I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but I'm saying it's just as likely to assume that that next bunch would come in, and that when that next bunch came in, still a ton of money would go to the metropolitan area, but that the percentage would obviously go up from zero. Couldn't be any lower than zero, could it, if they added anybody? Are people following my point? That if any more organizations were added to the majors, they wouldn't add any more before they'd add an outstate one, thus reducing the percentage to the outstate zero, which it is as of today, it will be through this biennium. With something more, but it still would be the preponderance of the money would come into the metropolitan area, I think, under any scheme.
The only point I'm attempting to make is that we should be aware that a distribution formula is going to have to veer from the strict dollar formula of our trend model. If something like this formula were ultimately adopted, it would put, as opposed to the approximately 7% of the total system that the out-of-state arts organizations now generate in revenue, and therefore 6% of the state money. In lieu of that, there would be approximately, I think as this table shows you, 24% of the total dollar amount of $1.9 million going out-of-state to the regional arts organizations. That would be approximately four times what they would normally get, what they would get on a strict dollar basis. It converts to approximately $450,000, I believe, if you add those up, for non-metropolitan area compared to $437,000 metropolitan area non-state arts resource funding. And my feeling is that as long as that much is in the system, the model is workable with regard to the regions. It leaves open the dollar amounts and the definition of state arts resources to the state arts board, which I consider to be their responsibility, not the responsibility of this commission. And it simply is an attempt to provide a sense of an allocation, which I think comports more with the economic and political reality which have to impinge upon the model. And I guess what I would like to hear from those of you who are not in the metropolitan area, whether this makes sense to you.
I think it makes sense to me. I think that the regional arts development is something that really will be a benefit to the people in those parts of the states, and I think that is something that should be increased, and I think that these figures
now we have a couple people from Minnesota Citizens for the Arts here. Since this is a public meeting, do you have any problems with this type of a vehicle?
Well, we like it a lot. We think that the 7% that you're used can't be used as far as we're concerned, and the 24% is good. Now, in looking over this particular allocation, just some high spots here, we're putting $75,000 into Duluth in Region 3. We're putting about $72,000 into Smock. We're putting $91,000 into Semerac, which is Rochester Region 10, and so on. And this, in my estimation, seems that those areas can use that and use it very well. Perhaps some of the other regions aren't as as well organized as those particular regions are, it might come up a little bit high, and I'm not sure. However, Region 2 can handle 13,500 very well, I feel. Would very strongly recommend that we keep it on a percentage of population line.
My question is, the trend model comes up with a need in the system of about $1.9 million. And your argument is that you couldn't take $1.9 million and distribute it according to current expenditures because we need to develop more art of state. We all agree that 90-10 is not a good split.
Well,
so
also there's a practical political fact of life that it's just plain easy to get voted that way.
Okay, I agree. So why don't you take the monies that are needed out of state to develop art and add it back on top of the $1.9 million rather than taking the $1.9 million and splitting it up. Under this model, the metro area is going to be undermet. Its need is not going to be completely addressed by the public sector. The metro area, as my understanding of the trend model is, as a matter of fact, right now, outstate, if you look at total expenditures and you look at public sector support, outstate is 20%. It's exactly what we're talking about, outstate currently. So that the trend model says that all of the need, that additional public sector support need, is needed in the Twin Cities. And if you take $463,000 out of that $1.9 million and spend it outstate, you're going to be missing what's needed in the metro area by $463,000. So why don't you add that $437,000, whatever it is, on top, rather than $463,000 on top of the $1.9 rather than taking it out of the $1.9.
Isn't the model somewhat biased to where the existing organizations now are?
It certainly is.
So that isn't necessarily fairly representing the outstate need. In some regions, there's no organization, but there probably should be some organizations.
The existing organizations need $1.9 million. And when you look at it, the existing organizations, that all that need is in the Twin Cities. In the Twin Cities needs $1.9 million.
Although there are needs in outstate,
So add that money on top of 1.9 rather than taking it out of 1.9.
I think you must always say development needs. There is a great deal of developed resources out in the state that are doing quite a cat and hat trick to keep going and have held back any kind of an expansion to keep themselves within their confines because they never thought of, they don't have the county and local support on the public sector.
It's true, Jimmy, that based on your data, which I accept, that the Twin Cities are getting a short shrift here, but I think that that's something that I personally am happy to go along with for two reasons. One has been stated before, that there are needs there that aren't. There are unmet needs that can't be fully represented in the figures. And two, we're talking about support from the entire state legislature as a practical political point. I think that even though I'm second to no one on this commission as a fan of the major organizations, I think that as a practical matter, you can't ask rural legislators to support this thing unless we're willing to substantially improve the help that's going up to the rural regions, and I think this proposal does that. Now, Jimmy makes the excellent suggestion that, well, why don't we just add more money and take care of everyone? If we had the money, that certainly would solve it. I don't know how easy it's going to be. Some cynics might say it's as easy to get another $400,000 as it is to get the first.
that's probably
very accurate. In that sense, we might as well ask for $10 million. I'm assuming that there was some hard look at the 1.9 figure, that we'd be better to stick to that. And all legislative requests are the product of trade-offs. I think this is a reasonable trade-off, and I would just support it. In fact, I would like to recommend, I'd like to move that. And I haven't studied this carefully. I'd like to move that this proposal be submitted to the full commission. And I don't know that we can actually vote to approve. Frankly, there's a lot in here, and I just saw it. But I'd like to move that we
I assume that's in the form of a resolution. Is there a second? Let me make one comment with regard to that. I would have no objection to our presenting, if this comes up in this type of form, an alternative which you have worked up showing that, in fairness to the system, the figure should be $1.9 million plus whatever the tilt we are adding for outstate non-metropolitan area, and showing what that would be as an alternative, and letting the full commission discuss and decide it. What this represents is not varying as much as seems to be possible from the actual system need in terms of dollar before anything is done to it, and making a presentation to the legislature as such. It is a figure defendable, the $1.9 million, I believe, on what the actual need is. To the extent we go above that, and I think we can present it, I have no problem in a report saying an easier way of doing this, where you do not have the shoe pinching, and where you are not discriminating from between organizations, is to add an extra $400,000 or whatever on top of it. And I anticipate that this would only be a part of the funding recommendation. This does not provide for any vehicle for directed development, which the state art board and the state plan may have, and a substantial portion of that, or an appropriate percentage of that, would undoubtedly be and fall into the hands of other organizations, major metropolitan arts-based organizations, and so on. So I'm not sure that this is the only figure, but it was an attempt to work within that framework, and as such, I have no problem in bringing up, when we get to discussion at the commission level, an alternative to that. Now, that's a resolution on the floor with a second. Is there another discussion?
I just want to make the point that whichever way the commission goes, let's assume that the commission ultimately goes at the 1.9 level, I think an imperative, if for no other reasons than purely political ones, that Jimmy's point be made known, because I think you have a much better chance of getting the 1.9 if you do make it known.
The other thing, Steve, is looking at the regional breakdown, and this is something that maybe we could work out, is, for instance, in Region 7E, where it would be getting, you know, this scheme about $21,000, there's only one arts organization that whole region, which is an income, you know, and expenditures of $6,000. And also in Region 5, there are fewer, with, you know, that's more than two times the current budget in that area. And those things have to be adjusted.
The purpose of putting that table in there was to show precisely that information. And the point would be that this would be nothing more than a delivery system model. There would be no money going into a particular region unless the criteria for grant percent recipients would meet the statewide standard, which would not be exclusively and arbitrarily imposed by the State Arts Board on the one hand, but on the other hand, would not be simply a vote by two people in a particular region to spend it on X either. The fundamental concept here is that there will be a statewide plan and standard which will apply to all grants. If the money cannot be used in a particular region, bear in mind regions may consolidate for grant appropriation purposes, so that 7E conceivably would be with 7W by their own choice, and money may be used on 7W more than 7E. But even if it did not, that the grant would not be made unless the recipients clearly met the state right criteria. If the money were not spent in that fashion, it would undoubtedly, and I think the vehicle would be set up, they would go into some sort of statewide fund and not simply be left there for that purpose. This simply would provide a means of guaranteeing that those that are fully qualified, the money would be there.
Yeah, and this is one of the, I know you don't want to get into details, but I think this is an example of what the details would have told you. That is that either the state, if there's nothing going there, the state has a responsibility to get something going in the region, not the organization. If the regional organization is now in place,
concept is not just to support the existing institutions. And if it's required, if there's so little there and you show need in X, or what it is, that in fact maybe, like the North, they call the North Country Council, Arts Council in Bemidji, what they've actually done in that case, if you could be justified as state arts board, they would set up their own program. In other words, they would start the program themselves, get it going, and then spin it off, sort of like Compass was spun off of the Ramsey Arts and Science Council. So that it's meant to be a dynamic, you know, development tool for the arts, and that I would be cautious, and I would be opposed to taking those and tinkering with those numbers, other than to say, which always makes grant recipients in other parts of the, you know, state happy, that in no case will money be left unspent. Of course, if the time comes and it's still there, the state will pull it back and either reallocate it or spend it itself. I think there's very little danger to buy any of any money being left unspent. I mean, bureaucrats usually can get rid of it one way or another.
Is there any further discussion of the resolution? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Minutes will so reflect. Very good. I think we have one last topic which the members of the commission should consider, and that is the conclusions on the private sector committee, private sector giving. David?
Who's going to do that? Jimmy can put in a memo.
Okay. For those people who had a chance to read the private sector memo, something I'd like to find my copy of it. The information from the trend study points out, I think, an absolutely critical problem. My view of it is, if you view the commission as being set up to address a deficit, a spending problem in the arts, and we went through this whole study to find out what that problem is, what's happening that gives us the current problem that we have, it's in the private sector, in the private sector giving. Points 1 and 2 of this memorandum talk about the problem. The first point being that about operating budgets, that in terms of total income to the arts organization, private sector support has dropped from 36.6% of income to 25.8% of income from 69 to 72, and we expect it to go, or 75, and we expect it to continue to go on down. The reason we adopted the 25% standard for private sector support was in the hope that we could get some recommendations that would keep it at least at 25%. The second point being that if you looked at income to all accounts, and all accounts is operating accounts, capital accounts, facilities in other words, and endowment accounts, in terms of actual dollars, the total income to those three kinds of accounts has leveled off between 1972 and 1975 at roughly $12 million. And that is not only a pattern here in Minnesota, but that's a pattern nationally. Contributions in actual dollars are not going anywhere, even though we have inflation, we have growth in the industry and the like. Total contributions are not increasing.
We've also had increased restrictions for 40 years.
Yeah, but it's, my feeling is that by 1975 we should have some indication that it was going to start going up again. And there was roughly no indication of that at all. And, okay, let me say something else about that, is that Minnesota seems to follow the nation about 3 years after the nation gets there. And so the nation went to nationally, the big organizations nationally went through this thing sort of decline, leveling off, movement 3 years before Minnesota did, which would have been from 1969 to 72, which was before the recession. So that I think it's a pattern giving to the arts more than it can be explained as the problem was the recession. I agree that recession probably has some to do with it. But in addition to that, you look at projections in the future by the organizations on capital accounts and on endowment accounts, and they don't project growth. In fact, they project decline in capital accounts. So what I'm saying is that you have a decline from 69 to 72, but this is 69. You have a decline to 72. Actually, you have an increase to 72, and you have a level off to 1975. And if you project that level of period, and this is income to all accounts, let's say it looks like this, 78, 81, and 84. The nature of this problem is that operating used to be only about this portion of the industry, if this looks like the entire industry right here,
This is capital and development. And this is operating. In order to meet the needs, the expenditure needs of this industry in the future, operating continues to climb. Until we're looking out into 1984, operating will take up all of the actual dollars at this $12 million level. Continues right out into the future. Operating will take all of that, all the $12 million by 1984, or $11.2 million of the dollars, and there won't be any money left over for endowments and capital. Well, you know these organizations, the major organizations which currently have endowments, will go on picking up endowment income, like $2 million or something like that. And there are still some facilities out that far, just on the facilities that we currently have going, not constructing any more facilities. So if you took some facilities money out of that, we're talking about this kind of a deficit in operating income from the private sector. Now, my two recommendations with that is that no more facilities and no more endowments. I'm obviously not serious about those recommendations, but they go to the point of the problem. I don't see any recommendations currently before the commission which suggest that we can get the 12 million to 15 or 18 or whatever it would take to meet all of the needs. And since operating needs are going to be roughly $12 million, that means to me no capital funds at all, no facilities and no endowments by 1984. And that's why the two recommendations occurring here. And that's just roughly where we're at in the private sector.
Well, that gives you a nice little shocker.
Yes.
I think my opinion is that this is one of the most fundamental conclusions that the statistical information we have has produced by the commission. And it is our obligation to report that as a major conclusion of the decline of the private sector support and flag that this is a long-range problem of considerable proportion. The conclusion that the recommendations that we made from that, I think, are open for discussion. And I think perhaps we should have a series of those. I'm not sure that the subcommittees have had enough time to think about it, and the full commission will obviously want to discuss it. But I think we should today vote to include that as a major finding of the subcommittee and pass it on to the commission with the opportunity to present a series of recommendations as to how it might best be addressed. And I think we might say that absent alternatives, the implication is that there should be no endowment and no capital fund programs because every penny will be needed and then some for support. I think the problem with that as an exclusive solution is that, like everything else, that's freezing the system in a particular, very narrow slice of time, which is today. If this particular study had been made 10, maybe 15 years ago, for example, before the Minnesota Orchestra went on its $4 million capital fund drive, which then was able to balloon to $11 million, it would have shown that there was no capacity in the system for that type of capital fund drive. I'm not saying that there is a capacity outside the system which we're just not aware of for that type of capital input into it. I think my own feeling is not the case. But I think what one of the other alternatives may very well be, for example, we are including in our findings a showing, I believe, of private sector support on how highly concentrated that is, that some 60-odd corporations out of the 25,000 corporations in Minnesota, which is not a fair statistic because I'm sure they're in large part the 60 largest, contribute something like, 90%?
That's wrong, though. The figure is wrong. It'll be about 80, I think, so it'll be a large...
Yeah. Contribute about 80% of the entire corporate giving. We cannot produce the identical figure for private individual giving because that is a very sensitive matter within all the arts organizations. We can probably assume
with a fair degree of accuracy that trend carries forward in the private sector. We do have individual giving. We do have some figures in terms of just total number of givers and the dollars in giving category. But the point I'm making is that one alternative recommendation of the commission on this particular point could very well be that there should be as much public and private policy directed to expanding the giving base of the entire sector as can be. But the problem we talked about earlier of local public funding and how that should be stimulated, that problem is very pale by comparison to the problem the private sector is going to face. And I think recommendations may very well be appropriate in terms of to the extent foundations and corporations, for example, would like some guidance and focus from the commission as to areas that they may be most beneficial in helping the system as a whole. One would be programs which make an incentive out of broad base of support and developing a whole new layer of individual giving.
Aren't you addressing potential tax incentives to accomplish this, or are you?
I think that the feeling, Roger Kreiberg is no longer here, but that we start getting into deep water if we veer into specific tax programs, because there's a separate state commission examining the whole state tax structure. And
I mean, it's an alternative to no new facilities for a way to stimulate increased
funding,
as you just pointed out, and one way to do that.
That may well be that, and that maybe we will end up with a series of recommendations of addressing it. But I think what we should do is report on behalf of this joint public-private sector subcommittee meeting that conclusion to the commission, namely the shortfall that has been developing in private sector support, and the need to have a series of recommendations as to how it should be addressed. The only alternative to broadening the big, or producing more money in the system in some fashion, being a recognition that there should not be capital fund drives, endowment fund drives.
You know, I was just going to say, if you miss that inflation rate by 3%, those lines are going to cross sooner. It's a whole lot sooner.
Yeah. Yeah.
It didn't say no new facilities. It said no new facilities unless public support can be shown. And I think that's a key point, but I think it's one we can't avoid in this report. I think that the basis, one could argue that some of the bailout, what occurred was a bailout, the last. And the bailout occurred.
I'm just saying that
the number of very large capital works that were, let's say, I don't know, funny.
You all know what you're talking about.
Let's talk about the Minneapolis Society of Fine Arts and the new construction there. That was done basically by some private initiative, and it became an expensive facility and now apparently needs public subsidy. I mean, that's put very crudely, but it probably isn't true.
Rather accurately.
The only thing this says is no new facilities of that nature would be done without public support to begin with and the initiation of it. And so therefore you know what you were getting into. And then if there was a decision to go ahead, then you'd say we made it. It's a public commitment to that. And the difficulty with this, of course, is the way that'll be, how you're going to implement that decision. I mean, so it doesn't say no new facilities. It says new facilities only after study and support
and
agreement.
In the legislation that, in fact, if you're going to get any money from the state pool, you grab or whatever.
That suggests some sort of public need evaluation. And the clout that could be added would be, obviously, to the extent that the sponsoring organization anticipates any public funding for that, for itself or that entity, that it should be prepared to have justified it within the system on that basis. The public public dollars and the public through public dollars need not take on the role of veto over private initiative. I think we've all discussed and come to the conclusion that the entire growth development self-selection process that has gone on, and basically a free economy in the arts industry, is a very healthy thing. And nobody can say today what's going to be the most successful organization 10 years from now. And maybe some that are the most successful today will no longer be here. But at least there be that type of involvement to the extent public dollars are asked for in the support of that organization. It seems to me that might be a legitimate way of addressing it.
I'm also speaking to I was heading for another point. The other point being that I don't think, since we don't want this, I don't think any of us want this report characterized as a large effort to take care of some operating deficits for six organizations. I think more needs to be done on the philosophy of public support. And I'm really now making some statements for Steve Sell that I think are very useful and need to be included somewhere in the beginning of this document.
They're not in that document.
They will be in the other. Talk about creative, you know, without having public support, creative limitations, you charge more for services. If you have less money, you have to raise it some way. You know, the whole, well, that whole concept needs
can
to be included.
Can we kind of get
included.
The private thing done? I got to go.
All right. Well, I think you prepared then to approve the finding of the decline in private support and the need for the report to include specific recommendations as to how this will be addressed, including, for example, and we'll leave it to the staff to bring up the number of proposals which the commission can consider, the broadening the base, and some sort of public needs assessment to the extent public funds will ever be asked for additional facilities or funding programs.
I don't have any problems with that. I'm aware from the meetings that we've had and from our own personal situation at the council that broadening the base is critical. Particularly, I think, it's the culture of it. Also, I was not aware quite of the degree the problem of 1.2 million. That's new. I think that does present a problem. I'm a little uncertain at this point about the concept of how the certificate of need would work, because you do not want to decrease the concept of the private giving, but generally, I agree with that. I think we should. We should move on.
I will interpret that as a resolution.
No, I was told.
Is there a second?
Can I ask for clarification? It seemed initially you were talking about the first 2 points. Now we're talking about those implementation points, which are another matter.
No. I assume the resolution is on points 1 and 2.
It is.
Okay. Leaving implementation.
Two. You want us to present several alternatives?
Present several alternatives, such as, for example,
a certain level of corporate giving would take care of it, a certain percentage.
Yeah, okay.
I think I understand what you're looking for.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Steve, if I could just add, looking at national trends this morning from the National Committee on Cultural Resources, this trend in private giving, the decrease is national we're at, 25% level of operating support from the private sector. Nationally, it's down to 21% from a decrease 3 years ago. As Jimmy says, we're about 3 years behind the industry. 3 years ago, it was about that 25.6% level nationally. Also, nationally, private sector giving is not even keeping up with the rate of inflation. In Minnesota, the last 3 years, it has kept up just above the rate of inflation, but nationally it's 5% below the income needs, drop in constant dollars by 5% nationally. So it's in bad shape, the private sector is, as far as contributions to the arts. Need to be some fresh ideas.
One of the things we're looking at is matched, federated programs for several organizations. We had a report that worked really well in some places. But those are the kind of proposals we're talking about. And matching where a corporation will match employee contributions, so the corporation gives a lot, employees give a lot, and increase both the individual corporate. We're talking about several proposals like that to be considered, and some information on how they work other places.
Ray's point is well taken. We run the risk in this report, unless we are very careful to be totally level-handed in our criticism of all elements,
to be saying on the one hand, the private sector declining and will run out of money in at the year end, and simultaneously the state ought to be investing $1,000,009. The conclusion drawn from that is that the public ought to bail out the private, and that will never fly. And I don't think that's what we intend either.
I wanted to make that clear.
No, I understand, but rather than say that, you know, they ought not to have any more building rights, we ought to accentuate the positive that we really want to somehow broaden the base, recognizing the problem. You're right.
The recommendations would catch your attention.
Steve, let me ask a question. As I understand it, there is a full commission meeting on Monday.
That's correct.
Is that now still to be, or is that to be the last meeting?
That will be the next last meeting we have.
Because I don't see how it could be the last meeting.
We're getting there, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
All right, any further?
Yeah, I have a question on the three recommendations on the memo to the private sector section. Point two talks about for the endowments that will grant money to major arts institutions as determined by the State Arts Board. Is the whole trend study based on solely the major arts organizations?
No, not even close to solely. It's based on 230 responding organizations in 1975. You shouldn't take, really don't take the second recommendation seriously. There's a little bit of money available to 1984 for endowments, but it's not sufficient to cover endowment needs or endowment the probable endowment income if all of the organizations continue to go after endowments in the same way they have, and if the base doesn't broaden. And therefore, in order to answer that question, my answer would be on Minnesota Endowment for the Arts. That's not a serious recommendation. I mean, don't consider it as a serious recommendation. I sat down and I said, here's the problem. If you don't do anything else, if you don't broaden the base, if you don't do anything, this is how you have to solve the problem. That's the nature of that recommendation.
Incidentally, I'm aware that there are more organizations trying to go after the
right, there are. And that creates a significant problem.
And the thing is, what this also says is, unless there's a change in the system, by new elements coming in, those endowment drives themselves will falter. The organizations who have been most successful in the past will pull in a proportionally larger share, but even they are going to have trouble. And those less successful are going to have progressively more trouble. And some are never going to get off the ground. And that may mean, in very short order, that those who have been historically the most successful will not succeed. And there's a certain evidence in that in the marketplace already, for those of you who are familiar with the various fund drives in place right now.
You can look at that recommendation sort of at the end of bookend. Quite some time ago, we talked about a tax credit proposal, which is the most extreme form of broadening the base. And the other end of that extreme form is to get rid of imbalance. So it sort of puts ends on the spectrum. And that's the picture, whatever the right hand spectrum might take in this case. The most conservative solution.
Well, there's another point, too. If one pursues this argument that that everybody's running at a deficit, I think that's very unfair to the
everybody in our organization.
And I understand only two organizations are running a deficit. All the rest of them have been forced to cut back to live within their
I'll give you the figure. 133 organizations ran a surplus, 14 broke even, 51 ran a deficit of $1,596,000, of which 88.5% of it was in two organizations.
Which is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And
the point is that we're not talking about deficits. This is Steve's point again. We're talking about what happens as a consequence of not enough of an adequate level of funding, and that is cutting back things, increasing the cost, cutting out touring altogether because nobody can afford the touring, you know, pay for the touring, so you don't do it. Taking dance companies, I understand one of the things that's happened with national dance companies is that maybe they're almost gone broke or they aren't. Something's happening because no one can afford to pay anymore. This sort of thing. And that what you're talking about is the quality is decreasing, frequencies are decreasing, the prices are going up, the product may be deteriorating. I don't know, but that's the consequence, not that everybody's going to run a deficit. Because if that's the case, we're all going to go broke eventually. I don't think
that's the point. Precisely what has happened. The two organizations who ran substantial deficits the last 2 years have, I believe, balanced their budgets in the current fiscal year.
The way that has been done is reduction in services, both of them.
Inconsiderable gift, there's an increase.
That's why we threw in the NCCR figure of 9% increase for cutback programs or programs not able to be undertaken.
That isn't in the figures we've been talking about today, but that's one possible consideration.
Yeah. I would consider that a very serious possibility of including that somewhere.
Well, there's also, at some point, when I have time, I'm going to run a whole other set of tables based on the NCCR increment rather than meeting expenditures.
Well,
and we'll have to make a decision on it.
I think basically, though, that we're getting to the point where additional data is going to simply overwhelm the report.
Yeah.
What we have to do is start focusing that all in terms of recommendations from now on.
And there was sort of a commission decision to go ahead with meeting expenditures, so that's what we're doing.
All right. I think that's it. Meeting adjourned. Commission will get a hopefully updated
version.
Yes.
Going forward.
The 22nd part of it is.
This is giving us control.